Amen and amen. Lord, really bless. And I want to tell you, brother, I needed that. You know, we go about as pastors and ministers and encouraging others and encouraging them in the God of all grace. You know, he blessed Brother Ronnie with preaching grace, you with listening grace. We need it all through our lives, but you know, preachers are not, pastors are not Teflon coated when the laying on of hands at the ordination. We're sinners. And we're out in this dry, thirsty land just like you, and it gets hard. It gets hard. And it's been one of the most difficult 2 weeks, and I'm not going to have a pity party with you, of I work in the construction business the past couple of weeks for me. And, you know, when you the realization sometimes that the Lord blesses you to go, you know, brother, you need to practice what you preach. And, you know, the reality of it, when you're having a little difficulty in the land, and the blessing of the God of all grace to hear that message there. And as you see the things that God prepares in His Word, from all the things that were prepared in Job, the great fish, the vine, the gourd, the worm, God does all the preparing. And if the preacher studies and tries his best to be ready, it's going to take an increase from above.
That's right.
All right? The congregation, you don't get ready for church just 30 minutes before preaching to sound service starts. Getting ready for church starts all during the week. It starts on Sunday, right after church is over, thanking the Lord for those blessings right there that you have. And Lord, please be with us the next time we meet. And that getting ready for church, if the congregation's getting ready, and the preacher's trying to get ready, and the Lord blesses, you'll have a good time in the Lord. And I greatly enjoyed that. I would like to also, the unsung heroes of the Primitive Baptist, my wife also, Primitive Baptist preachers' wives, were driving me too. Very thankful to have Sister Becky with me. Our three children are back home and they're all of their activities, and we're very thankful for the opportunity to be here. I love your pastor dearly and these yoke brethren in the ministry that are here. I certainly feel extreme need this evening. I ask you to please be praying for us, and we will certainly be mindful of our time. I'd like to share with you first, you know, there's nothing wrong with a minister sharing a personal experience or two to help with the message there. And as I was preaching a couple of weeks ago in Southwest Georgia, right when I walked in the church, a little lady met me, and she goes, as I was shaking hands nervously walking in church, she goes, "Preacher, I want to tell you something. I walked out before on preachers preaching." You know, and right off the bat, you know, I'm going, great, my anxiety level just shot hot. Didn't think it could. And she goes, "I don't want to hear a bunch of personal stories. And if a man's called to preach, it'll be made manifest. If it's a local calling and he's just going to stand up there and tell stories, I've been known to lead." And I said, "Well, I certainly hope you'll be praying for the service." And I quickly sat down. And, you know, it's as I told a brother one time, the meat of God's Word, staying in His Word. But if the Lord blesses us with an experience to be a little A1 steak sauce on that meat to help with the message, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Of course, you can't live on A1 steak sauce.
Right.
And it's the meat of God's Word. A couple of weeks ago, as I was traveling along, I saw a bumper sticker, and it said, "Not everyone are sheep." And it really caught my attention. It was one of those cars that has about 16 or so bumper stickers, it looks like, on the back of it. And you're sitting in traffic and your mind's going and you start reading all the bumper stickers there. And certainly the message that this person from the other bumper stickers that they were bringing forth is that they were a very conservative-minded person, and that not everyone are sheep and just follow along with what the world is doing or what the political world is saying that is the end thing now or whatever. So certainly got that point, but it got my mind in the scriptures of not everyone are sheep. As the day went farther, good friend of mine, a mechanical contractor, calls me up and he wants to share with me that his son's goat won the blue ribbon at the Dixie National Livestock Show and how many thousands of dollars he's got invested in his son being involved in 4-H. And he's so thankful that all of that money has brought home a blue ribbon. As I pull up on a job site, my superintendent comes to me, long in the face. "Boss, I need to go home at lunchtime. My goat died. I need to go home and bury one of my goats." And I went, "Wow, what a day. Blue ribbon goat, dead goat, not every one are sheep." So my mind's about, you know, automatically thinking Matthew chapter 25, you know, and my mind starts going toward that. I was trying to be as sympathetic as I could to the man with his dead goat and told him to go home and bury it. But not everyone are sheep. And my mind went immediately to a verse of scripture that I'd been studying that week. I ask you to turn with me to the 95th Psalm. In the 95th Psalm, the 7th verse says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Not everyone are sheep. And how true spiritually God's word teaches that. And thinking about the blessing of being among God's sheep. And understanding that if, you know, a sheep was a sheep before the foundation of the world.
Right.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You know, God, according elect according to the foreknowledge of God, God's first initiative in the everlasting covenant was his foreknowledge, his initiative to love. He wasn't obligated to. God in his sovereignty, he loved in his foreknowledge. And he chose unconditionally. God's word tells us he doesn't choose in a happenstance way as a carpenter may reach into a pail to grab nails, just as a handful. God sovereignly reached down in a special way, the sovereign potter, into that fallen lump of humanity and reached out and chose a people to be predestinated, to be conformed to the image of his son, the third covenant decree. But in this 95th Psalm here, it's a praise, a psalm of praise to God. And then it's an exciting, as the writer writes this, you can feel his excitement. And it's great to be excited to come into the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I want to tell you, it's great for a preacher to see folks smiling, nodding their heads, awake, saying amen every once in a while. That is a great blessing. We get excited to go to a football game. We get excited to go to all other sorts of activities. And sometimes folks come in the house of the Lord and it's like, you know, some granite statues that have been sat up, you know. And I've been there before. One of the toughest places I ever preached is where I was raised in a Primitive Baptist church. And the stoic look of my mom and dad and the little handful in that country congregation. And as I looked over at my wife for help, you know, I was going, "Give me a smile or anything." You know? And amen. You know, sometimes a preacher has to say, "I'll amen that." But it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." You know, your attitude is contagious coming in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
If you come in dragging into the house of the Lord late, dragging yourself into the house, his house of the Lord, our place of refuge to come, our place to where we can come and thank the God of all grace for his many great blessings that he bestows upon us day by day, but the greatest blessing of all, his son, the great shepherd to his sheep. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That rock of salvation is the rock of ages, our eternal hope of to have home with glory with him one day. By Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ alone, the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our security. He's the rock of our safety. And that recipe for joy as you come into the house of the Lord is all week long serving Jesus first, others, and then yourselves servants. That's the how. You come last. The world's going to tell you, you deserve a break today. Everything is all about, you know, you're number one. It's all about me. It's all about, I want to talk about me. You know, that's what the world is going to say. But as servants, everybody's real concerned about their job scope nowadays when they go somewhere. I have laborers that want me to explain clearly that shovel and wheelbarrow and everything that they're going to be doing. And they also want to know when they're going to get their company truck next. A servant's job is to serve. That's your work scope. And it's Jesus Christ first, others, and then yourself comes next. That's the recipe for joy as we come into the house of the Lord, singing in our hearts with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. A joyful noise that we can sing with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thanking Him for your daily bread. Your daily bread. You think about that, your daily bread. Daily bread. Thanking Him for that. Had a great friend of mine that it was tough for him to confess this to me. As he was trying to make a decision in this economy with his business and everything going on, and he goes, I can only admit this to you because I know you will not judge me. And he said, I trust my riches more than God. He goes, my riches, it puts me to sleep at night knowing that I've got some money in the bank. And he goes, I know that's wrong. And I told him, I said, well, you know, Brother Hugh, I'm not going to pat you on your head and we're going to tell you it's all right. I want to tell you, you trust in the Lord. That money that's in the bank, it belongs to Him. The money that you have in your pocket, it belongs to Him. Whatever's in the church treasury, whatever that we have, we need to thank Him for it and be thankful for our daily bread and each and everything that we have. You know, He provides. Those lily of the fields, they do not toil nor weave. And He takes care of the sparrows out there. And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. Now everyone, you know, unity is not uniformity. And how one person worships, you know, as I encourage my congregation back home, an ideal Primitive Baptist church is not an arrogant term. Let me explain that real quick. Because people go, ah, ideal Primitive. Y'all think God. Ideal community. I've got some workers working in our little sanctuary trying to help us with some air conditioning and things like that. And a couple of the workers asked me, Pastor Hugh, how did y'all get the name Ideal? And I explained that was the name of the little logging community years ago was Ideal. So that y'all have that. Ideal Primitive Baptist Church. As I encourage the folks there that, you know, that we're to worship the Lord with excitement, with zeal, but not everybody worships in exactly the same way. And there's a diversity of gifts in the ministry and the church and all, everything too. There's great blessing in that. And verse 3 is where it all comes together. You may not be for years, you know, we were talking about that at the supper table a while ago. I was a quite shy, bashful young fella, painfully shy as I was described before. And, you know, the way that I worshiped the Lord may have been as a young man singing songs while I was cutting grass or on a tractor bush hog. I may have not have felt comfortable right then singing in the church. And you may be humming right now. If you're at the humming stage, that's great. God's listening to that humming that's right there. And may the Lord bless you to start opening your mouth to sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I'm not singing for you. I'm singing with grace in my heart to God, thanking Him. It all comes together right here. Not everybody is going to be excited as the next person, you know, but I do expect to see a smile or two happen. And it says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's a great God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember the King of Kings and the great God and your worries that you have in this life. He's the God of all grace. He's our great King. And we need to remember that He is sitting, He's ruling and reigning. He is sitting where He always is sat.
That's right.
It's going to tell us about His omnipotent power in the next few verses there. But I encourage you to remember that and to think about that is the God that we need to worship. Well, Brother Hugh, that's all that I do worship. We got to be careful with those little g gods that come up in our life. Oh, Brother Hugh, you know, you deal with your own. I don't have any idols that I worship. You need to be careful with that. Ask God to help you with an inventory. As I tell folks at home, it's all about your grip in this life. If you're gripping a golf club harder than you're gripping your Bible or a hymnal at church, it's all about your grip. If you're gripping a gun to go deer hunting, I like to hunt, I like football, I like sports, but you got to make sure it's all about your grip in life, that grip isn't harder than the grip on Sunday where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, it tells us, in His hand are the deep places of the earth. In His hand are the deep places. The deep places, whether you think of the Grand Canyon or the deepest sea that is out there, it's in His hand. And it says, for the strength of the hills is His also. The highest mountain is His handiwork of His sculpting by His hand, our great God. And it says, the sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. His hand made every little peninsula, every island, every continent that is there by His great hand. The exuberant song of this hymn writer. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord and Maker. Personal, intimate relationship with the worship of your Heavenly Father.
That's right.
You need to think about that, that we come to join in together to worship. But as far as me, I use myself as an example again. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told Peter, He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. May I strengthen you with another story. That we need to, the gift that the Lord has blessed me with to use, I'm accountable unto Him for it. I'm not worried about it. I have poor, pitiful English and mannerisms. My family even tells me I make up words every once in a while. I say ain't when I'm not supposed to sometimes. You know, I'm married to an English teacher. That's just, I can see her grimace sometimes. But the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows your heart in your worship service. And it's a personal, intimate relationship. But we're blessed to come, the heritage of God, to meet together in the midst of the congregation to sing praises unto the Lord. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Mm. The omnipotence God has been displayed here, and this blessing that's here, as we worship Him, we trust that we worship Him, for God is a spirit, and they worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verse 24, David is going to use this verse of Scripture in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, and that chapter that's speaking of the rest that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. God's Word tells us, Jesus Christ Himself says, I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And how many people get so confused in this world, and they're not being Bereans. They hear things taught, and they hear things preached, but they don't read, and they're not studying. Those Bereans were more noble than they at Thessalonica.
That's right.
And they studied God's Word. They received it with all readiness of mind, and they studied God's Word to see if those things were so.
Right.
And as I encourage people, I always tell them, don't take Brother Hugh's word for it. I gave you the verses of scripture right there. You go study that.
Right.
And ask the Lord to help you with that.
Yes.
You know, you can walk around with a stick. You know, grew up in a primitive Baptist church, and we would have a visitor or two, and after the preacher got through beating up the ones that came to go visit, you know, just, you know, preaching right at them, beating them over head, grace over their head with a stick, you know. I remember as a little boy, an old man in the community said, oh, I'll never be back here again. That was his last time to ever go to church, was at an old Baptist church after he had been run through the ringer. We're to speak the truth in love with our words seasoned with love. And those that are inquisitive, that are asking, that are seeking, that we give them God's Word and present it, ask the Lord to help us to present it in a way and encourage them to go study that. As I had a man trying to explain to me about sheep the other day, he was telling me, he was trying to convince me that a goat was just an unregenerate sheep. And he said that once that goat goes in the waters of baptism, that he'll be a sheep. And he said, do you agree with that? I said, absolutely not.
Amen.
I said, that goes contrary to God's word. It goes contrary to nature. I said, you stick a goat in water, you're going to have a wet, smelly goat when he comes out. A goat's a goat, sheep's a sheep. God's word is very clear on that in Matthew chapter 25. He talks about the sheep on his right hand, the goat's on his left hand. And a goat is not an unregenerate sheep. God's sheep, His people, have been His before time was.
Right.
Before there was dust on a hill, before the stars marched out in the stellar of the skies, He knew you personally, by name, intimately. The very hairs on your head are numbered. And as a bald-headed brother said to me the other day, he goes, even the ones that I lost, I said, absolutely. All of them on your head. He knows all about you. Individually, personally, He knows you. And the great lesson of studying about sheep, I never have raised sheep. I worked on a cattle farm. I know a good bit about cattle. But I have studied about sheep. I've inquired people who have had sheep. And I also talked to this brother who's a goat farmer that had to go bury one and found out some very interesting things. We don't have very much time. But, you know, sheep are a very docile and a timid animal. And that docile and timid animal cannot stand strife and struggle. In the 23rd Psalm, 2nd verse, remember it talks about the still water. A sheep won't drink from agitated water. As this man was telling me some information about goats, he was telling me about his goats. He said his goats paw at the water sometimes. It doesn't matter if the water is stirred or not. As you study a little bit about sheep, I've tried to, from a journal of a New Zealand sheep herder to any kind of history that I can read about. It's not that I'm trying to bring anything foreign into the God's Word or into the pulpit. It's just for me to have a little better understanding. I study maps. I like to understand how many miles my Lord and Savior walked on His human, absolute deity, perfect humanity feet to preach the gospel. It just helps me to study and to understand those distances and places. And as I studied about these sheep a little bit, and I thought about this bumper sticker, not all people are sheep. That is correct in God's Word. We love Him because He first loved us. It tells us in 1 John 4:19. And that His sheep will, those that He chose before the foundation of the world, His sheep will feel the wind of the Holy Spirit blow upon them sometime between conception and death. It may be a babe leaping in the womb, and it may be a thief hanging on a cross.
That's right.
But the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And these sheep always have been, but as I was reading one account in a journal, a shepherd in New Zealand was talking about this one hireling, and a hireling has no care for the sheep. He's a hired hand, and you know, he's like some of the guys that I have working for me. They're looking for 3:30. You got to be in life, young folks. It's got to be more than Friday at 3:30.
Amen.
It's got to be more than that. It can't be for just that check. That check is important to pay your bills, but life has got to be more than that. Ask the Lord to show you the talent that He's blessed you with and help you to develop that. And please go through life seeking to glorify His name and not just looking for 330. This man was talking about as goats would come through, and he despised this. You could tell in this in his writing that when this hireling would let these goats come through his sheep, there was nothing but strife and chaos. See, goats are bullish, they're headstrong, they're stubborn, and they would come through his flock of sheep and just cause chaos. As the goats come through the sheep, they will cause chaos. And the good shepherd is there drawing them back in. And every once in a while he talked about that some of his good sheep, because his sheep were sitting there, another characteristic of the sheep is their head is down and they're grazing. A goat is a browser. A goat will bite the top out of a weed and walk through good grass. He's a browser. He's looking for higher elevation. He's looking for something to aggravate. You know, some of the lessons that we have, you know, it wasn't Mary had a little goat. It was Mary had a little lamb. You know, lessons that we have there. You know, in the parable with Nathan that told David, that poor man, that little ewe lamb that sat at, that was ate at his table, that was a gentle, affectionate little animal that he had. You brethren, if somebody ever calls you, you know, think about how that terminology of a goat is. If somebody calls you an old goat, they're not complimenting you. You know, they're talking about a foolish old man. You know, I was accused many a time of getting my, I've got two older sisters. My daddy would say, stop getting your sister's goat. I was aggravating them, you know. I was getting the better of them by aggravating. And as the goats come through and aggravate the sheep, this shepherd would talk about that he would have a couple of his sheep were prone to wander. Prone to wander. And as those goats would come through, they would lift their head up from grazing and they would follow after the wayward way of those goats. And he was talking about all the different predicaments that he would find his sheep in. And we don't have time to go through those. But one way that he would find his sheep sometime were as they're called, cast. And cast is when, you know, a sheep is a bad built kind of body structure. As we say, we don't mean that irreverently. We mean it as in the little, you know, little squatty body with short legs. If a sheep lays down, and there's a little bit of a divot in the land, that sheep will find itself cast, kind of like a turtle up on its back.
Yes,
and he can't get up. He can't. You know, a sheep will lay down. He's got to be on exactly flat ground. If there's just a little divot in the ground, he'll roll over and he'll find himself cast and he cannot get up. He is a meal waiting for. He's easy pickings, very vulnerable. Sheep are very vulnerable. Easy pickings, as Peter was pointing out about resisting the devil. As he found one of his sheep, three things happen. Either he finds that sheep and turns it back up, or a predator finds that sheep turned up, or that sheep being cast, all of his organs will get all discombobulated. Air in his stomach and all that, and he'll basically suffocate turned upside down. But he talked about one sheep that he had in particular. And this one sheep has this hireling's goats. He had discipline for his sheep. He loved them, this shepherd did. He loved his sheep. As the great shepherd loves his sheep. And the discipline there that he had with one time, it broke his heart. And he said how he had to break the legs of this little sheep. This sheep that would go off every time with the goats. And he broke the sheep's legs and he carried that sheep on his back. Carried him on his back. It found him cast many times. You would think that that sheep would have learned its lesson. But it was just a sheep. And he was prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. As people make judgments out in this world of others, what comes to my mind is, If it weren't by the grace of God, that would be me.
Right. Yeah.
There's been many a folk that with things that hit the headlines of the news are quick to make all sorts of judgment calls and things toward people. And we certainly don't condone sin. But many a time, as I saw a man holding a sign one time, he held up a sign and you would think that the sign said, "We'll work for food," or "Hungry, give me a dollar." He held up a sign that said, "Who's kidding? I need a beer." The sign he held up. And there were people at the red light mocking and laughing at him. And, you know, I just went, wow, it wasn't by the grace of God. That'd be me. If I was preaching in a church in Pensacola, Florida, one time a homeless man came in to the congregation. And after visiting with him and after he left out and stayed there for the afternoon service, only by the grace of God, that's not me living up underneath a bridge on I-10. Amen. This shepherd broke the legs of this sheep, but he tended to those legs. He wrapped them up. And as those legs started healing again, this shepherd would he brought the food to the sheep. But as his legs got a little stronger, he would stand him up, but he would keep his hands right on him and let him take two or three steps to the water to take a drink, or two or three steps to the fodder to eat. I read in Hebrews chapter 12, two places that I'd like to turn to. Close our thoughts. Verse 6 in chapter 12, remember, it talks about the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in verse 2. Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God desireth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." One of the spiritual birthmarks, one of the many that is taught in God's Word, just like a birthmark you have right now that you didn't cry from the womb and go, "You know, Mom, I think I'd look cute if I had a mole right here." You had nothing to do with any natural birthmark you got. The same way with the spiritual birthmarks that you have. If you love the brethren, you pass from death into life, that's a spiritual birthmark that's all over. Cornelius had a spiritual birthmark on him. The old publican, as he smote his breast and said, "Have mercy on me, a poor wretched sinner." As that publican, he had spiritual birthmarks all over him. Right. And as there's spiritual birthmarks on those of the chastised. Have you ever felt the chastening rod? That you have felt the breaking of your legs. God loves His sheep. He knows them by name. And those sheep have a secure home with Him one day in heaven. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," He says in John chapter 10. And talking about the inability of man, we'll read about what the man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what it says. It tells us in John chapter 10. Let's turn over to that so I don't misquote that. Pray for me, please. Tired mind. To where it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." I do, Jesus Christ says. I do. You don't work for it. You don't help me with it. I tried the wine press alone. I give eternal life. And he says, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand." No man is able to pluck you from your Father's hand. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Out of my hand and my Father's hand, I and my Father are one. You're sealed. Your life is hid in Christ. It tells us as the Apostle Paul preached. You're safe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there are times that as the sheep go through this life, there are not everyone in this life is sheep. Not everyone is sheep. That's a true statement. Not everybody is sheep, as that bumper sticker said. In the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Naturally, not everybody follows just what the world says to do. And I'm thankful that the old Baptists do not follow what the world says to do. The world says that our children need entertainment. Bring in the Wii's and the Xbox 360s, and let's get a basketball team started. You know, Ezekiel, the Lord told those priests over there to tell my people to be able to discern between the holy and the profane. As Jeremiah was told, from the precious and the vile, the holy and the profane. There's things that I enjoy in this world. If they're morally clean and all right, my family and I may go see a movie. We may go to a football game. We may do some things like that. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, His sheep come into His house. And it's not about your entertainment. When your feet came over that threshold, it's about worshiping Him.
That's right.
It's not your basket coming in empty to be full when you leave. It's bringing your basket in full of yourself to give in the service of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord provides the increase, doesn't He?
Amen.
Those sheep and their tracks that they make. As old boy working on a farm, one of my duties was to count cows and to keep up with them, in particular when they were dropping calves. And if I had other chores to do in the mornings, it was easier for me to count the cows. You know, during the day they're grazing and they may scatter out. Some of them may wander this way. It's hard to keep count of all of them. But there was one time that I could count them, that I could guarantee that I could find them by the watering hole, and that was about high noon. You could find them in the hot of the day. They would go to the creek, they'd be in the shade of the pond, and they would be drinking. To the sheep here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, I read to you from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of my mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Our sins, I feel dirty sometimes. Do you feel, I know that my only hope to go to heaven is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if I'm clean, it's only by Him. I can't do any cleaning of me. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I was left polluted in my own blood. But Jesus Christ walks by and says, live. Live. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. These two verses. Tell me, O thou whom thou so lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth to the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I would walk and I could follow the footsteps of that herd of cows right to the watering hole where they were at high noon. And I could count every one of them. And I could know that they were accounted for. And know that they were okay. Part of my duties on the farm. They rested at noon. And this community right here, this community will follow the footsteps of the flock that come here, that rest at noon. You don't rest at 11:59. You don't rest at 12:01. You don't rest in that Jesus Christ almost got it done. That he made men redeemable. No, he redeemed his people. He saved his people from their sins at high noon. And not 12:01 now sinner friend, if you'll just accept him, and he's sitting back just hoping that you'll make a decision for him, sinner friend. Say this prayer and it's going to be all right. No. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ plus nothing.
That's right.
that our works is nothing. Our works is filthy rags, as his fine brother preached. The flock rests at high noon in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because some walked by at Calvary and they wagged their heads. Was that cry that they heard at the trash heap in Jerusalem known as Golgotha? It was the trash dump at Jerusalem. There's no way to pretty up a trash dump, is it? Have you ever been to a landfill before? It was a trash dump at Jerusalem. And some people teach that that was a Savior that almost got it done. And now it's up to you to help him finish the job. How blasphemous is that? How silly is that? That the Creator God needs help from the creature. Some think that it was a wounded carpenter saying his last. That he was just a man, just another prophet. He was verily the Son of God. And as he hung there, you would hear his cry as he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How are you on forgiveness? Brother, you lax in that sometimes. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And what is preached here by your blessed pastor, I thank the Lord for him, and this brother that preached here tonight, and Brother Corey, and Brother Brad, and good Brother Cagle that has preached. They preached the finished work of Jesus Christ, the finished work at high noon. And that's where the footsteps of the flock can be found. Resting in that. Brethren, I tell you, if you're a sheep, you're a sheep before the foundation of the world. If anybody tells you're a goat or ever tries to convince you that a goat is a sheep, you just remember this. I got to keep things in simple terms. I'm a dumb old country boy. A sinner sins, a Savior saves, a goat is a goat, a sheep is a sheep. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Amen.